Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First, our history lesson. It was the beginning of the Civil War, 1861, and the Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, receives a letter from a pastor in Pennsylvania urging him to consider putting on our currency a statement regarding the faith of the nation. It took 3 years, but in 1864, still in the middle of the Civil War, the Congress acted, and the motto, "In God We Trust," was placed on the 2-cent coin. Any numismatics out there? Any coin collectors? Anybody have a 2-cent coin from the... All right, a couple of them out there. Just one 2-cent coin from the Civil War. In God we trust. And it wasn't until 1956, almost 100 years later, that the same words would become the officially recognized motto of the United States of America. In God we trust. We see it on all of our money. We see it all over the place as our motto. But 63 years later from that day, I might question whether or not those words are actually true. Yes, they're our motto. Yes, they're on our currency. But do we really believe them as a nation? We aren't the only nation to use words like that, "In God we trust," as mottos or as guiding principles or creeds for countries. But if you look around the world, I would say most of the nations have abandoned at least the spirit of that motto. There are other gods that are trusted more than God Almighty in all sorts of countries all around the world. Gods that demand sacrifice and obedience, gods of success, performance, power, and wealth. There are all sorts of gods that are trusted. Most of these gods are made by human hands or human minds. We've come up with different gods that we've put into place. They're gods of war or gods of opinion or gods of thoughts and desires. The God that we worship, well, he's sort of been put on a shelf somewhere along with the books that his name is mentioned in and collecting dust around the world. He's become what Paul saw as the unknown God. In God we trust. The parable of Jesus is a trust parable. It's also a warning. It's a very stern warning. As we were reading, as Tammy was reading the words this morning, and as I read the gospel, I was thinking to myself, there really isn't much gospel in the word this morning. It's hard to come by when you read Ecclesiastes, which we don't do very often, probably for good reason. It's difficult to come up with the gospel when you're reading that. And then even the words of Jesus are words of warning. They're not words of gospel and words of hope. They're words of be careful, be on your guard, watch out. These are words of warning. The rich man that is in Jesus' parable, his lands produce plentifully. We don't use that word a lot, but plentifully. That means he has more than his fair share. He has an abundance, and he's given choices. When you have an abundance, you have a choice. What do you do with it? What are my options when I have an abundance, when I have a lot of wealth? Well, one of the first things that happens is people become defensive, and they start to justify, well, it's not a sin to be rich. It's not a sin to be wealthy. I can have a lot of stuff. In fact, God blesses me to have a lot of stuff. So that's not bad. Well, and you're right. It's not a sin. And that's not what Jesus is warning about. He's not warning about the problem of being wealthy. He's warning about the issue of what do you do with it? And that's always the question. Who do you trust? In God we trust? When a lot of Jesus' parables which a lot of them revolve around finances. I don't know if you've noticed that. But riches seem to be a problem for the people that Jesus is talking to, as are the people who listen to his word today. Riches can be a struggle. And who is it that gets into trouble? It's not the one that has a lot. It's the one who doesn't do the right thing with what he has. So Jesus' warning is for us as well as for the people to whom he's talking. Be careful. Watch out. In God we trust, not in our own wealth. So the rich man has choices. What's he going to do? And that's sort of the question that the people are asking as Jesus is telling this parable. They're wondering, what is the rich man going to do? What's the conclusion of this story? What are his options? What could he choose? Well, he chooses poorly. Instead of doing, quote unquote, the right thing with his wealth and riches, he decides he needs to build bigger storage to hold all of his riches, and he packs it all away. In God he trusts? No, in stuff he trusts. In wealth he trusts, not in God. That's why this parable is often called the rich fool, because he's foolish. The one who trusts in himself and in his stuff is foolish, because stuff fades. Jesus says at the very end, so is the one who is laying up treasures for himself but is not rich toward God. In God we trust. So what does that mean for us? In God we trust. Well, it's something that I talk a lot about. I don't always do very well at it, but I talk a lot about it. In God we trust. First comes with the realization that everything we have, whether it's a lot or a little, every single thing we have, even the very air we breathe, is a gift from God. It's a gift from him. In God we trust, because he is the one who supplies everything we need every day. He's the one who gives us that air to breathe and that food to eat and the clothes to wear. He is the one who provides everything. So who else would you trust? The one who provides everything, or do you trust that which is provided? Do you trust the food, or do you trust the God who provided the food? Do you trust the clothes, or do you trust the God who provided the clothes that you wear? Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7 say, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In God we trust, because he's the one who gives us everything that we need. He's the shepherd that guards and protects us and watches over us. In God we trust, because he won't crumble or rust or fade away. In God we trust, because he doesn't diminish. He doesn't diminish in any way, in particularly in his value for us. He does not diminish. We trust in a lot of things that diminish in value. One of my favorite things to do is to look at old advertisements. My mom sent me one, a whole, this is my mom, the collector. That's where I got it from. She sent me an entire advertising section from the Detroit Free Press from the day I was born. And Farmer Jack, from anyone from the Midwest knows the grocery store, Farmer Jack, was prior to Kroger. They had their advertisement of all of the things that they would have on sale. Cans of soup, bananas, all of that stuff. Can you just imagine what the price of a can of Campbell's tomato soup was, and for me is 1973, as opposed to what it is today? I think the ad said it was 2 cents for a can of tomato soup. 2 cents won't get you even the label for a can of tomato soup nowadays. So what has diminished in value? The soup? No. But the money that is used to buy the soup has diminished in value. These are the things that we depend on that fade, that diminish in value. This is the problem. They don't have any intrinsic value in themselves. Money is just paper with stuff printed on it. Think of all of the things we've collected over the years that we feel has value. One of the things that I have, and I should have brought it with me today, I have a 1957 Mickey Mantle baseball card. It was my dad's. Well, technically it still is my dad's, but I hold on to it. It's a picture of a baseball player printed on a piece of cardboard. That's all it is. In reality, that's all it is. It has no value in and of itself. I couldn't trade it in for money at the bank, but find somebody who's willing to pay for it, and all of a sudden, it's one of the most valuable things in the world. Those created things that we put our trust in, which really have no value at all. Even, and this is coming from Alaska, even gold has no value in itself. Think about this for a minute. Gold is found in the rocks, just like all of the other rocks you collect. It has no value except that it's shiny. It's just another mineral in God's creation. And yet, somebody at some point said that it was really valuable, and it has become the standard of value. This shiny metal piece of yellow rock that is found buried. How is that even possible? It's amazing. Yet we give these things value, and they have no value because gold doesn't last forever. It melts, it tarnishes, sometimes it gets brittle and breaks. Cardboard that picture is printed on certainly isn't going to last forever. It looks a lot worse than it did in 1957 when it came out of the pack, I'm sure. And yet these are the things that we treasure. These are the things that we value. In God we trust? How? Sometimes it's hard to tell. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Things that have arbitrary value, the things that we put so much trust in. And Jesus is warning the people in his parable, be careful of that. Because what happens is when you put your trust in something that has no value, that quickly becomes God to you. That quickly becomes the thing that dictates everything you do. Think about just the paper that those words "in God we trust" is printed on. Think of the God that itself has become. We have to be careful, and that's what Jesus is warning about. Don't put your trust in things that are on earth. He says that in Colossians. We studied that in Bible study this morning. What does it mean to set your mind or set your eyes on things that are of the earth? It means we're putting our trust in things that are created rather than in the Creator. So it is hard to hear gospel this morning because of the words of warning that are throughout our scriptures. So how does "In God We Trust" become gospel? In God we trust. As I said before, because he is the one who provides everything we need. In God we trust, because he's the one who guards and protects us. In God we trust, because he is the one and the only one who provided a way through his son Jesus Christ on the cross for us to be with him forever. In God we trust, because he alone can do that. Nothing on earth can do that. In God we trust, because without God, without faith and trust in God, then it's just bread and wine and doesn't really mean anything. In God we trust, because without him, it's just water and doesn't do anything. In God we trust, because then without him, it's just words that mean nothing. In God we trust, because in him they become the body and blood of Christ. In God we trust, because in him they bring us forgiveness and grace and peace. In God we trust, because in him there's salvation, there's hope for eternity. In God we trust, because in the water it becomes cleansing, not just of our skin, but of our sin. In God we trust, because in these things that normally are just plain, they become incredibly powerful. And it is in him alone. In God we trust, in him alone, that his word has power. In God we trust, because in him alone his word becomes flesh and dwells among us in Christ. So yes, be on your guard, as Jesus says. Watch out, because created things can quickly become gods to us. And at the same time, in God we trust, because in him is eternity for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which comes through faith in him, may that peace guard and keep us always in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.